Welcome. You are listening to the Parkway Podcast.
It stems from our Western culture where we just send our kids off to school and we don't have any type of training in the home other than, you know, maybe how to do your laundry, you know, before you're 18. Or,
right.
I mean, they're just thrown to let everyone else deal with them. And I don't think our culture knows how to disciple kids. And even in the process of us, just, are we doing it right? Do we know what we're doing? And
hello, I'm Carissa, the communications director here at Parkway, and we have another episode of the Parkway Podcast. And today we're talking kids ministry. I've got the kids pastor, Pastor Seth.
Who?
His wife, Kayla.
Hello.
And Pastor Jay.
What's up? What's up? Appreciate you, Carissa, for setting us up. And it's good to have Seth and Kayla with us. Many of you guys are probably asking, how did the Wallenburns and the Smothermans even get introduced to each other? And largely, I had heard about this fantastic couple when I first arrived here that had already moved on and to Idaho, correct? Was it?
Correct.
One of those heavenly states that is before heaven, but still in America.
Mm, yeah.
The conservative bastion that is Idaho that loves Jesus more than Oregon. And I heard about this couple, and it's funny that we're opening with this because the sentiment was, man, I wish you guys could have been here when they were here and you guys would have got along. And so now that we're, what, 6 or 8 weeks into this journey, I'm not sure if we're getting along. I'm sure I'm probably doing things that are bothering you guys. But we're grateful to have you guys. And I think probably the most burning question is, what is it like to be back? Has it been weird being back in Southern Oregon? Has it been, you guys do not have to answer this question.
No, it's been a bit of a whirlwind. I mean, we moved to Idaho really not knowing why. We just felt God asking us to leave, kind of like Abraham, you know, just go. Right. And we didn't really know why until we got there. And we realized, you know, almost 3 years into it, how burnt out we were of just, you know, through the foster care process and with our kiddos and just raising young kids and then ministry on top of that. We just needed a break. And we came back, I think, rejuvenated, came back for family and financial reasons, and felt like God was giving us a choice, really. We didn't really feel like we needed to stay or go, but we felt like in our prayer time that God was just saying, make a choice. And so we did, and we pulled the trigger and came down here.
Well, I know that I'll speak for my wife and I, we're glad that you guys said yes. And some of the things that I felt like I'm prompted to say right now, I've told you guys in private, I'll tell the world in public now, but there's always been a place here for you next to us. But if it meant that you guys needed to come back to the area and attend another church, that was okay too. For us, it's always trying to model what health is, and health is always what the kingdom of God wants and needs. And just to be clear, Seth and Kayla are not signing their life away to Parkway or the ministry under Pastor Jay and Brooke. This is not a covenant relationship. That's marriage. We just know that they're here for a season, and that season can be a year. It could be 5 years. It could be 10 years. Selfishly, I wish you guys were around us forever because of what you mean to this community. But we're not going to put those unhealthy expectations or boundaries on. I just know that they're coming to rejuvenate a wonderful legacy that Pastor Bethany has left behind, and build our kids ministry up to be able to be robust and love the kids of the community that they have literally served for decades. And so I just want to set those expectations out there that we're going to champion them as long as God has them next to us. And we're glad to have them back, and almost like a redeemed run back of what God's called them to. And so we're glad to have you guys here. But what are some of your thoughts about being back? Are you excited? Are you nervous? Are you scared? What's the feel on that?
Yeah, it definitely has been weird at times being back, moving away for 3 years and then coming back to a place that you called home your entire life. It was a little bit strange, but honestly, we know that we're called here for this season, for this time. And you mentioned like choosing the church that we were going to be at when we came back. We weren't sure where we were going to end up. And if I'm being honest, we tried out a few different places, but Parkway and the people at Parkway have been family for a very long time. And we feel very much at home here in this community. And I think that's something that Parkway does really well is community and people being there for other people in good times and bad. And that was something that we really missed while we were up in Idaho, and something that was really difficult for us to try to find while we were there. And coming back home, it was like picking up right where we left off with our family and friends here at Parkway. And that's something we really cherish and love about this church.
The one decision that I've been congratulated on the most since I've been here has been the fact that I even got you guys to say yes. But I want to be very clear. It had nothing to do with my ability to lead or serve. It had everything to do with the Lord calling them back and me just having enough crazy ideas to at least ask them. And I don't even think kids ministry was on your radar at first.
Nope.
And, but I just genuinely, I just felt the Lord bringing together for this season. And again, I want to be clear. I think sometimes in the church world, we get it wrong where we put these undue expectations on each other to where we think the season's going to last forever. And one of the things that I've said since I've been here is, these are the good old days, and you better recognize that when you're in the good old days, because it moves on. I was at my last church for 21 years, and I never thought I was going to lead or leave. Felt like the Lord had this whole thing planned, but the Lord tapped me on a shoulder one day and said, son, the season here is over. And so we're going to be thankful and grateful. And every day when we come in the office and we talk about ministry and life and people here, we're going to remember that just for this season that God puts us together, we're going to try to win people to Jesus and do our best to serve and honor this community. And so grateful to have you guys here. Do you guys find that it's been difficult? You said one of the positives of being here is it's like family. I came from a very family-oriented ministry. I had, you know, my pastors, I were my pastors for 21 years. Before that, they were my youth pastors of the church for almost 15 years. And so all I really knew was that church environment. It's got to be a blessing to be around family because I miss it. But it's also got to be the burden of how do you lead your family that you know needs to have some changes. Those conversations, do you find those conversations to be hard? Do you try to stay away from those conversations? Or do you guys feel adequate right now in the stage of your life to know that the family that is around you actually needs you guys to step up in leadership form? How would you guys answer that question?
One of the comments that one of my friends made in conversations before we took this job, and he was trying to give some wisdom to it, is he said, I just hope you're not just taking the job because you want to be comfortable and it's a comfortable season for you. And we felt, as we were praying over it, we're stepping in to even a harder decision because we're trying to move the church forward and we're trying to progress, and we're going to have some of those hard conversations. And so, yeah, it's been a little bit harder to have some messier conversations with people that we know and that need to step up to the plate, but it's also been super rewarding to see you give vision and hope for where our church is going. And I think people are starting to rally behind and get behind where we're going.
Yeah. People aren't an exact science, are they? No. It'd be really interesting if you can just, it'd be really cool if you could just say, here's a formula on how to move a church forward and step 1, 2, 3, and 4. That's why I despise leadership books, because leadership books make it so simple. It's like you do these four things and you're going to grow to 1,000 people. The problem is people aren't an exact science.
Right.
And we all bring our own past, our own histories, our own offenses, our own ways that we think about things, our own traditions, our own biases, our own ways that we like church, to the songs we like to sing, the preachers we like to listen to. But I do believe that you guys are called for such a time as this. I think there's going to be something beautiful that's going to happen as we walk forward here. And I just wanted the church to know, as you're listening to this, it's not an exact science. I don't make it an exact science. You don't make it an exact science. And that's where we have to have the grace and mercy of God and all of our relationships to be able to move forward. And so yeah. I appreciate you guys being here. I wanted to open up with this interesting question. Why is there not mentioned in Scripture the idea of kids ministry? The need for kids ministry is not mentioned in the Bible, but there are some concepts of nurturing and discipling children in the faith that is very much present through Scripture. Let me give you some key passages here as you think about that question. Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 7. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. You're to impress them on your children. You're to talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Proverbs 22 and 6 says this, train up a child in the way that he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Psalm 78, 4 through 7. We will not hide them from the children, but tell them to the coming generations the glorious deeds of the Lord, that the next generation might know them. Jesus' view, Matthew 19, 14. Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul speaking to Timothy. From childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. In summary, kids' ministry is not just a modern church program. Kids' ministry is actually a biblical priority. While parents should be the primary disciplers, the church is called to equip families, teach children, and create environments where kids can come to know and follow Jesus. One of the things that I was really impressed about when Seth and Kayla and I were talking about kids' ministry was making sure that we understood that we are the secondary disciple makers in kids' lives, and that parents are actually the primary disciple makers of kids. But how many times have we seen in ministry, kids and youth, that many people, many parents, because they don't have much margin in their life, actually try to subject the primary role, give the primary role back to kids ministry. We believe here at Parkway that kids ministry is our job to make sure that we equip parents to be the primary disciple makers in the home. Pastor Seth and Kayla, what are some of your ideas on that concept? And what do you look forward to in helping equipping parents about in the next upcoming season?
Yeah, so I completely agree with that model. I think, you know, 6 weeks into it, we're kind of getting our head on straight and trying to figure out the program of it. But I completely agree that, you know, as Deuteronomy 6 says, that we should, in everything that we should do, we should be teaching our kids. And kids ministry is an augmentation of discipleship at home. So we've been talking and mulling around some ideas of how we can get parents involved. We've talked to some parents about having some type of discussion with other parents. I think a lot of it stems from our Western culture, where we just send our kids off to school and we don't have any type of training in the home other than, you know, maybe how to do your laundry, you know, before you're 18. Or,
right.
I mean, they're just thrown to let everyone else deal with them. And I don't think our culture knows how to disciple kids. And even in the process of us, just, are we doing it right? Do we know what we're doing? And so we've talked with a lot of parents that are down the road a little bit about having those conversations and maybe doing some teaching classes, and then also providing with resources like books and devotionals for families to do at home. Videos for them to do at home. And that's why we, every single Sunday and Wednesday, we talk on our Instagram page about what we're teaching on a regular basis, so that, you know, when the kid goes home and they say, I don't remember what we talked about, well, the parent has, you know, the info where they can ask questions. And so that's just some of the small answers.
Yeah. I mean, you said mostly everything that I was going to say, but, I mean, raising up the next generation is one of the most important things we can do, because they are our legacy and they're going to eventually be walking in our footsteps. And, you know, as long as we're here on this earth, there's still work to be done. And so we want to do our job as parents and as kids ministry leaders to empower our kids to do the things that Jesus did. And so, like Seth said, providing resources for parents while they're at home during the week. We've been purposeful about posting on social media to kind of share the things that we're talking with the kids about during the week, so that that can hopefully spur on conversation at home, you know, sending the kids home with scriptures to memorize, or motivation to come back and remember the things that were taught the previous week, those types of things. And then, like Seth said, eventually getting more at-home curriculum, hands-on things that parents can be walking through with their kids during the week. Because, like you said, I mean, they're only with us one or two days out of the week for, you know, an hour learning what the word has to say. And so a huge percentage of the time that we have with the kids to teach them what the word says and how to live like Jesus has to happen at home.
Yep. It's got to be a supplement. It can't be the primary. Mm-hmm. You said something about Western culture that I find very interesting, that we're in this experimental age. I mean, Facebook is a teenager. Instagram is younger than that. Most of the discipleship that takes place today happens in 30-second reels coming from people that sound really good, but you don't even know the result of their discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that when we turn on the newscast, we don't even know who to trust anymore. Do you trust Fox News? Do you trust CNN? Do you trust none of them? Which politicians do you trust? You can't trust any of those. And so the search for truth is going to be at a heightened sense. And really the things that are at play are our kids. Mm-hmm. Because what we take in and the philosophy that we live by is going to be so huge. And so for me, it's recognizing, okay, we've got a job to do as parents. And I want to bring this to the forefront. Because I think as you start thinking about, okay, I've got to be the disciple maker of my home. I've got to do it right. I've got to, there's almost this sense where the enemy tries to think or make you think that you have to be perfect.
Right.
And the thing that I want to bring to the forefront while you're thinking about discipling your kids, perfection's not required, but consistency is.
That's good.
So when you're driving through town or you're thinking about the moments that are going to matter the most in your kids' discipleship, perfection's not required. None of us are going to be perfect. But consistency and especially authenticity are going to be required. I've got, you know, two teenage sons right now, 19 and 13, and they call me out on my stuff all the time. But Dad, you've said this and you've said that. And if I have the prideful ego side of me, you want to rise up and just say, I can do it because I'm dad or I'm the man of the house. It's not going to work well, but through consistency and authenticity and even admitting when you don't know and even admitting when you're wrong.
Yeah.
So we talk often a lot about curriculum and getting in your word. When I look back on discipling my own boys, I think the thing that I would recommend to anybody in this that's listening to this podcast is making sure that consistency is the goal, not perfection, not taking any seasons off raising your kids. Not getting church hurt or allowing church hurt to get on the inside of you where you miss one or two years of church because you were hurt. You have enough maturity to walk back from that, but oftentimes your kids don't have enough maturity to understand that. And so making sure you don't take seasons off, you're consistent, and then making sure that you're authentic. And then also recognize that discipleship never takes place in big moments. Discipleship always takes place in small moments. Car rides, dinner times, stories about what happened at school with friends, perceptions that they had at church, life. You got to do what Jesus did. Jesus said, hey, disciples, we're going to go for a walk and you're going to follow me for 3 years. And along the journey, I'm going to teach you some life lessons. And so that's where discipleship takes place. Discipleship takes place in the moment. So modeling your faith consistency, discipleship in the small moments. As I'm sharing, guys, what would you add to that? If you guys would add anything, would you guys add an amen or maybe some extra tips that you've seen along the road with youth ministry and kids ministry or even raising your own kids?
Yeah, I think modeling is a huge thing because our kids are watching everything we do, everything we say. You know, we listen to them repeat things that we've said in the past,
isn't
maybe
that
sometimes
scary?
Not good things, maybe sometimes they are good things. We're like, oh, you were listening to that, good. But yeah, I mean, your kids are watching what you do with your time. So if you're constantly picking up your phone in a free moment to scroll social media, they're seeing that. Or if you're being diligent with your time and you're waking up early to spend time with the Lord and they wake up to see you on the couch with your Bible and being consistent in your devotionals, because we can preach at them all we want. Like, yeah. You should be reading your Bible. You should be memorizing your scripture. You should be doing this and that. But if we're not doing it and we're not walking that walk, they're like, well, what's the point? You're not doing it. What's the purpose? And so I think modeling is like a huge thing, like almost number one, because they're watching us live that out. And if we aren't feeding ourselves with the Word of God, and we're not spending time with Him in prayer and doing all of those things, then they're not going to see any purpose in it, and they're not going to see the importance of that, and also them, you know, watching how we interact with other people and how we handle conflict with each other as their parents, as husband and wife. You know, they're watching all of those things. So constantly bringing it back to the Word and doing our best to follow Jesus. And yeah, like you said before, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to mess it up. That's been one of Seth and I's biggest things in our marriage, at least, is like if we get in an argument in front of the kids, if the kids see us fight, we want to make sure that they're watching us work that out 100%. In a healthy way. And them seeing us model that for them teaches them those same things. So yeah, modeling it out, being consistent.
And it's not just, it's funny because as you were talking, modeling, we want to teach kids how to model in conflict, how to walk through that, but also modeling health and what affection looks like.
Right.
Grabbing your wife's hand or grabbing your spouse's hand. And if you're not married and you're a single parent, making sure that you're showing affection to family members properly and creating proper boundaries, and hugging is okay, but there comes a point when hugging can be inappropriate. But, you know, just what does proper affection look like, and what is improper affection? Like, creating the healthy boundaries and actually modeling that is going to be a huge thing. Mm-hmm. That I think needs to be taught, especially in a day and age where most teenagers and most young people get taught the improper way to do things. Right. The church has to be here to actually model what it means to be proper, healthy, and modeling that with genuineness and authenticity. Seth, do you have anything to add?
I think she said it well.
Awesome stuff. A wise man. Not even trying to add to the wife's discipleship. One of the last things I want to talk about before I kick it over to you guys and talk about maybe what people can look forward to. And I don't ever even want that to be a pressurized thing, because obviously you guys are new to the role. There's going to be 6 months here of just learning what's been going good and what's been going wrong and building relationships and renewing relationships. But maybe the Holy Spirit will put something on your heart here to end this episode. But man, the one thing that I think is the biggest hurdle for proper primary discipleship of the home is how busy people are today. I always tell people that busy is a choice. Yeah. And people that live life well, they say the word no 10 times to the word yes. We live in the same culture. My son loves basketball, and if it was up to the basketball coach and program, he would be playing every weekend and traveling and going to Salem and going to Medford and going to Portland. And if you're not careful, instead of praising God, you'll praise the ball. And with all of the extracurricular activities that happen with school, with band, with sports, with our own interests, our own likeness, we run at a busy pace. And how is it that we need to, and maybe I'm phrasing this wrong, maybe even the premise is wrong, but making time for faith in our busy schedule, maybe it should be making time for other things while we're prioritizing faith. Mm-hmm. But we're going to have to learn. And if I can just get into your car, get into your, while you're cooking and listening to this, while you're picking up your kids from school, you are going to have to learn how to say the word no, to prioritize the yes of modeling what it means like to be at church most Sundays, not all Sundays. It's not a legalism requirement where you need to be in church every Sunday, but you need to be in church most Sundays. And you need to be around a faith community, whether it's a small group, whether it's a group of family members, a group of friends where you can meet with and actual model what it looks like. But, you know, how do you make time? How do you actually prioritize that? What are some of your thoughts and some encouragement to some families about making sure that they don't busy Jesus out of their life?
I think, like you said, every yes you say, you're saying no to something else. And I mean, I think the way that my personal trainer is telling me now, the best time to get in shape is when you're busy, because if you start, you know, when you start getting in shape when you're not busy, then life throws curveballs and you get busy and then you just set it to the side. But the busiest time is actually the best time. It's just making the right choices and the right yeses. And I think, we as a culture of Christians, we don't say right yes to the right things all the time, and it's not a priority, but it needs to be. And you know, I don't want on my grave, you know, to say, hey, you watched a lot of good Netflix series.
Yeah, and it's powerful.
You took the kids to a couple of games. You know, I want my legacy and my grave to say I invested in the next generation. There's thousands of people in heaven because of me, and I want my kids to say the same thing. I want them to see my legacy of what I invested into eternally, not just for a job, but outside of a job, just in relationships and with people. And so I think it's just a mind shift change.
Yeah,
I think we make time for the things that we want to make time for. And something practical that we've been doing the last couple of weeks in our family is sitting down at the beginning of each week and writing out all the things that we have to do that week on a calendar where everybody can see it. I mean, even scheduling in our meals and all of those things so that we have that where we can see and we know what we already have to do for the week. And so I think practically, if you need to pencil in time, like, I mean, when you see the things on your schedule that you have to do, you'll notice you actually do have a lot of gaps and you have a lot of free time and you have a lot of space to come back to time with the Lord. And so I think that practically can help. We're also reading a book right now that it talks about a monk in the book where he, like, his number one goal was to always be, you know, like how scripture says, like we should be continuously praying. And so like that was his goal, to be continuously praying and always in a place where he was like waiting on the Lord no matter what he was doing. And so it was the story about how he was, he worked in the kitchen and he was constantly busy. And it talked about like the chaos of the kitchen and how there are constantly things that distracted him or could distract him and take his focus off God. And he made it like his life goal to get to the place where even in the chaos of the kitchen, he was at peace with the Lord and in a place where he was just continually praying and waiting on him and hearing his voice. And so I just loved that picture because I think it is possible for us to be in that place where our focus can be brought back to God, even in the midst of our chaotic and crazy lives, if we're intentional about it. Yep. So
you're going to get the question asked, what book is it? And if we get the book title, I'm sure you don't have it off the top of your head. But if you know it,
Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer.
There you go. So yes. Real popular. We'll stick maybe a link in the description. This is not me co-signing the book. Not everything, not everything we read, we agree with. And it's actually good to read things that maybe you don't agree with. Yes. So, don't live in your tribalistic bubble. Just because we recommend a book doesn't mean that we're okay. I know who the author is vaguely. I listened to some of his sermons, but stop being legalistic. Yes, I'm talking to you. All right. While you're talking, I was reminded to let people know that rest is okay.
Yeah.
I struggle with that. I'm a doer. I'm busy. If I have a day off by 11:30. I literally will be sitting down, resting, and feeling guilty.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. It's a problem for us in the Western society to understand that rest is okay.
Well, that's one of the things he talks about in the book is Sabbath, and he actually challenges that throughout the book. And that's what we're going back to as pastors. We don't get Sundays as Sabbath. That's not our Sabbath. So integrating that, you know, second time around in ministry, making sure that we're taking care of ourselves and really not just having a day off or because I'm the same way. If I don't have something to do, I start feeling guilty or I feel like I'm not getting enough done. But to sit in the presence of God on our days off and to really be intentional about it it has to be intentional.
Yep. But rest is okay. It's okay not to be involved in everything. I'm not sure who I'm letting off the hook right now. There's a lot of fear of missing out, some FOMO that's going on in the world. And then the second thing I just wanted to add in final to this is, you know, if you were like me growing up in the church culture to where, man, you had to show up every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, every activity, every evangelistic event, every missions trip, there almost came this pseudo-legalism that came into the church, that if you did have a passion to play sports, that sports became this idol that, you know, if you did that, then you were sinning and going to hell. And we got to be careful that we don't bring overcorrection to something that needed to be corrected. If your kids are passionate about playing baseball, have them do their best, man. I mean, get them practices and coaches, and let them love to play soccer or fall in love with band, or it is okay to have interests outside the church. Matter of fact, it's probably good, because that's where lost people are at. Mm-hmm. And you can reach family members, and you can get out of the bubble that you're in. And so I want to make sure that as a pastor, that you guys are encouraged and make sure that your life is not just only revolved around church. It's actually healthily revolved around the community that you live in, so that you can be a light in the community. It's what happened to the church. You know, we vacated all the Little League boards, and we vacated all the city councils, and we vacated the public schools. And that has not been good for our society. We need to actually infiltrate those things back again to bring Christ back to be the center of those institutions. And so I just wanted to make sure that you knew what we weren't advocating for was only saying yes to church. There is a balance.
Right.
And the balance is that you should go on vacation with your family, and it is okay. And if a church is telling you not to miss Sunday during vacation, you should probably leave that church. Vacation is okay. Rest is okay. And I'm not just preaching to you right now. I'm preaching to me. The church will still be there. And there is that fine balance that we don't overcorrect, that you're not one of those Christians or believers that only comes to church one time a month or when it's convenient to you, because that's not biblical either. And so finding that proper balance, and only you can answer that before the Lord. And so the best thing that we can teach you right now is you're tuned into this podcast. You're a diehard. You know, there's probably 75 people that are going to listen to this podcast. But you're here, and we want you to know that rest is okay, and being faithful to your church is okay, and being involved in your community is okay. And yes, you can do it properly and in balance, but you're going to have to learn the word no. Not every opportunity that comes along is going to be God's opportunity for you. So Pastor Seth and Kayla, thank you for saying yes. You're not saying yes forever. You're saying yes for this next season. What are you looking forward to just very tangibly and practically in this next season? And it could be as simple as just, hey, we're excited to get back involved in living life with people. And that's an acceptable answer too. I don't think that you guys have to point to an event or a theory or some kind of theological answer here. But what are you personally looking forward to getting back to ministry and letting people know what they could be looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to having fun. I think
you can have fun in ministry.
Okay,
you can
say, yeah. Let's have fun. I mean, if there's one thing we've learned since starting kids ministry, it's that kids like to have fun. Yep. And if they're not having fun, then they're not learning, then they're not engaged. So we're looking forward to having some really fun events this summer, kicking off Wednesday nights with a barbecue and purposely playing games and building community within the kids ministry. And I know my kids are looking forward to inviting some friends outside of church that they know would love to get involved and come and play games. And so growing the ministry is another thing that we're really excited about. There's been a lot of new families already that have been coming on Sundays and Wednesdays. And so I think summer is a great opportunity for that, because mm-hmm. we can do really fun events that are open to the community, that get new kids in here to experience this thing called church and learn about who Jesus is. And so I think that for me, I'm excited to have fun this summer.
Yeah, I would just echo that. I mean, I would hate to say this to parents right now, but I want your kids complaining that they're leaving church on Sunday. I want them to be around other people. And church should be an environment where it's enjoyed, not endured. And at that age, specifically, I mean, and so we want to create fun environments where it's just on the edge of chaos, where they learn. And they remember, and so we're trying to provide that environment for them. And so far, it's been working well. I mean, we might make mistakes, but we just want to keep having fun with them and doing life with them and come alongside of parents.
Thank you guys for saying yes. If you're looking for the pastors at Parkway to be perfect, you need to move on. if you're looking for the pastors at Parkway to be real and authentic and want to walk this journey with you, then it's a good place for you to come and be a part. We are desperately, desperately trying to model what healthy lives look like. And we're not going to get it right all the time, but we're going to take the pressure out of it and say, hey, if we're getting it wrong, it's okay to reboot. That's right. And repent. Repentance is not a bad word. But listen, what I will tell you is you have an opportunity to get your kids around seasoned ministers and seasoned parents. It's not very often in the church world today, especially with the church finances the way that they are, to get someone of this caliber discipling your kids, helping you disciple your kids. And they'll never say that, but I'll brag about them and want you to know that you're missing out if you're not coming on Sunday mornings and dropping your kids off in that kids ministry, because great, great days are here. We don't know how long they're going to last. We're not God. If God taps us on the shoulder, and me included, and says, hey, I need you to go somewhere else in a different continent, it's my hope that I would say yes to that. It's also my selfish hope that we would be here 20 years loving on this community and seeing people win. But all of our lives are not our own. They're His. And we're going to enjoy this next season. And we're going to take it Sunday by Sunday, month by month, year by year. And we're going to champion people. And we want your family to be a part of that. So Sunday mornings, 10 o'clock, Wednesday nights at 6:30. And they're doing Wild Wednesdays, I think, coming up in the summer. And yeah. Wherever you're hearing this podcast, just know this pastor's for you. We love you. And God's got great things in store. God bless you guys. Have a great day.
Thank you, Pastor Jay, for leading this conversation with our amazing children's pastors. If you are listening and want to get connected, you can find out all of the things that they were talking about Parkway Kids, on our website at parkwaycc.com/kids. You can get connected with them on social media, on Instagram at parkway.kids. And if you are interested in being a part of this team and want to come and serve, you can go online to parkwaycc.com/serve and be a part of the future of what kids are doing here at Parkway. Thanks so much.